a couple of Wednesday nights also, and plus we do other things on Wednesday night occasionally, so we're not moving very deep very fast into the book of Proverbs, but that'll give you slow listeners time to catch up, right? Okay. Remember something about the book of Proverbs. It's very practical, and we need that. We need that in our Christian lives and our walk and the advice it gives. And remember, it was given by, even the world admits, probably the wisest man there ever was, and that was Solomon. And he wrote the Proverbs, and some of it seems awful personal because he addresses us sometimes as his son. You know, he, of course, was the son of David, and God allowed him to build the temple. He didn't allow David to do it because David was a man of war, and he gathered the materials, and Solomon built it, and it was a tremendous thing. I talked to you a little bit Sunday morning. Solomon's kingdom was probably the richest kingdom ever was. I said it was richer than America's because he didn't have America's national debt. Amen? And you think that through a little bit. Our debt is a mystery. We don't know who we owe it to. We just know we owe it. How many of you think you know who we owe it to? Think that one through a little bit. All right, I don't want to get off on that. Real easy to do that. Chapter 6, we got into it a ways, and of course in chapter 6 of Proverbs, we find the 6 things that God hates. And then there's a 7th one that tops the list, and we went through that. Now remember again, the book of Proverbs is the greatest book of philosophy ever written, and it's a teaching book. The theme of it states the causes and the effects and results of the values of good and evil, compares the two. You got one little word in the book of Proverbs that's a real teaching word. It's called but, B-U-T. Still is. You think about how the word but changes the street from one truth here to the opposite truth over there. Romans 6:23, soul winners, the wages of sin is death. That's the negative, but the positive, but the gift of God. But changes over, crosses the street. Gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Proverbs compares, and it teaches you by that comparison. Compares good and evil and the results and the consequences. The truth is, under the free will God gives us, a man can do anything he wants to, but he will suffer the consequences from it. You can change what you do, right or wrong, but you can't change the consequences. And sometimes we forget there's good consequences to doing right, as well as there's bad consequences for doing wrong. And as we move into chapter 6 here, it says 6 things the Lord hates, and then we finished up with the 7th one, the biggest one, and it was discord. Now you'd think, how could that be the biggest one? Well, you think about what sowing discord does. Our nation right now is hurting something terrible from the sowing of discord. I tell you what amazes me. You know, no pastor would want to pastor a church that was split like the nation is. You got a big crowd out there playing gotcha against the other crowd, setting traps for the other crowd. I'm not going to get on this much, but I'll say this. I sure hope you registered to vote because your nation's at stake right now like it's never been, I think. And the Marxists are in the streets, and they intend to overthrow this country, and they're going to do it if God's people. And I appreciate the fact God's church has taken a stand, but not all of them. And even of the better ones, they say there were several million that never registered to even vote, even cared. So we don't have nobody to blame but ourselves if some bad things happen. So in discord, that's what the 7th one of these was. And we talked about it, part of the biggest one. It disrupts anything, disrupts a team, our family, our church, and certainly disrupting a nation. No doubt about that. But then I'm going to start off in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to hopefully go through the end of it here tonight. And I didn't know you were coming. I didn't pick the subject. God did. He already wrote it before you got here. Amen. Think that one through a little bit. Quite a while before you got here. Amen. But he starts off with my son. So young men, you really ought to run your antenna up tonight, because God is talking to you in a special way. And you ladies, don't get mad, because he's going to present some of your worst sides of the female gender in these verses. And yet, you got to remember something about Proverbs. It ends up in chapter 31 paying the greatest tribute, probably in the Bible, to a woman, a virtuous woman. And read often at Mother's Day, and good and right to do so. The Proverbs, Mother 31, verse chapter 31 of Proverbs, and it's powerful. Here's the good thing about the Bible. It presents the truth all the way, the good and the bad. It presents the best of somebody and the worst of somebody. You ever notice in the Bible, the best men still have clay feet, still have faults? You know, in the world, some fellow writes his biography or has somebody else write it for him. It's all praise, isn't it? But in the Bible, it gives the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and gives both sides. That makes a big, big difference. If you're sworn in court as a witness, it'll say, "Do you promise to tell the truth?" But don't stop there. It says the whole truth. Don't stop there. Nothing but the truth. In other words, it closes all the doors on deception if you live up to that promise and that vow. So we start off here in verse 20. My son, Solomon, he had many sons. He wound up having the downfall of all his political marriages and all of that. But my son, keep thy father's commandment. Keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them. What? The commandment and the law, the commandment of the father, the law of the mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Now think that one through. He's saying these commands, keep them close to you. You know, the Jews did tie some things around the neck, and they wore a little frontlet up between their eyes sometimes. It was a little leather pouch, just so big. A little leather strap went around the head, and they had certain verses that they would put in that. Now, I tell you something. If you're wearing something around your neck or around your head, you're probably going to remember what it is and why it's there. Did anybody ever have their mother make them tie a string around their finger when they went to school? All right, I'm talking to such perfect people, none of you would ever forget. But I've seen the time that we did our best to keep our son from forgetting his coat and leaving it at school or something else. We're all that way. And the biggest thing we're prone to forget is God's word, God's law. And the Jews had a right attitude, and the Jewish father and mother felt a great responsibility to the Lord to raise their children under the commands and word of the Lord. Now, here's a statement here, very strong. When thou goest, it shall keep lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. Say, how in the world could that be? Well, I tell you what I suspect. A lot of our dreams are made up of what is left over in our minds. Had a fellow I was talking with all the way in California the night. He said, "I never dreamed about you, and I dreamed about you." I ain't going to tell you what he dreamed. But anyway, maybe he had too many turnip greens before supper, and his stomach was upset. I don't know. I'm just saying that sometimes we program our dreams without knowing it. Or some, you wonder, how in the world did I ever think of that sort of thing, you know? But when thou sleepest even, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Now, we've all been there till this day. I turned 85 yesterday. Now, you ought to say, "Oh, I don't believe that." But you're not nice. But anyway, 85. I still find Daddy and Mama talking to me in my memory. Don't you? Think about something Daddy said, something about Mother said. Sure, sure. And you know what? I find out both of them was a lot smarter than I thought they were. You know what I'm talking about? Truth. They told me some things that at the time I didn't want to believe them, didn't want to accept them. Thought they were nagging at me or trying to keep me from having some fun, something like that. Now I see how smart they really, really were. And kids, whether you like it or not, that'll happen to you. And what they said, the law, the commandments, it'll talk with you. It'll talk with you. It says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Okay, lamp, light, yeah, guide our way, walk, see where we're going, so forth. But now watch this next one. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Let me cough a little bit. Maybe it'll clear in a minute. Reproofs. Nobody likes to be reproved. We like to be right all the time. But would we admit we're not right all the time? Quite often we're not. And then to be rebuked or reproof is sometimes not pleasant. But look what it says. It says, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. He's saying it'll really help you. You know, folks, we do learn from our mistakes, or hopefully so. Sometimes we might learn more from making a mistake than we did when we was doing right. Have you ever said, I'll never do that again? Sure. Sure we have. And sadly, we may have more on that side of the column than the other column quite often. And we don't like it. But it's a learning tool. And you parents, hopefully, you've been wise enough in raising your kids to help them to benefit from the mistakes and the wrong things. And then as we kids get older, so to speak, we learn better by them and accept what we learn. So the reproofs, the very things we don't like, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We learn from them. Then it says, to keep thee, and here's where we cross the street, ladies, to keep thee from the evil woman. Now, I'm just going to drop this in on the side. If there are evil women, also thank God there are good women. Evil is the opposite of good and right. But let's face it, there are evil women out there. There's evil men out there. Now, notice this, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Young man, listen to me. Flattery is just more dangerous sometimes than criticism. You got to watch out for that. And also, let me say this. Men are stronger, or they used to be, I ain't so sure anymore, stronger than women, should be, both be. But you're not necessarily the smartest. You might think you are, and they let you think you are because they're smarter than you. Did you get that? I told you about the woman standing up got on the bus, and the bus was full, and she's standing there, and she said, I wish that good-looking man would give me his seat. Five men jumped up. You get the point? She outsmarted them. We've all fallen for those kind of tricks. Tell you stories. I've told you a story, and I've never forgot it. She went on to heaven here not long ago, but one story I'm telling about, she was the most beautiful girl in school, just about, I thought. And the Orange Festival came to Winter Haven. And I got all my savings. And I went to the Orange Festival, and would you believe she was there with all the kids from school, and she started hanging around me, and I was on cloud nine, or whatever the highest cloud is. I was, oh, man, she was buddying around with me. And you know what I was doing? I was spending my money. I was spending it pretty lavishly on her. And I was the envy of the other boys. She was piling around with me that day. until something happened. My money ran out. And I'm not kidding you. She was a straightforward young lady. Directly, I said, well, I hadn't got any more money. She said, goodbye. Just about that plane. Now, I tell you what, I went home broke, but I went home a lot wiser. I learned from that one, amen? And hopefully you could tell me about a similar story. But the truth is, this is warning you about the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. It says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Isn't it amazing how ladies decorate their eyes up? Right? Some of them look like a Halloween lantern, you know, with all the black. All right, I'm playing with you some. But you better watch it, them batting eyes, those artificial eyelashes, mascara, whatever they call it. Fellas, that's been going on for the longest. Now, none of the ladies would confess about painting up like Jezebel. But Jezebel was a painted up woman in the Bible. Do you know that? No lady names her daughter Jezebel. But there's a pile of them that act like Jezebel. Sad to say that's true. And Solomon's warning young men about this thing. Listen, the devil didn't only use Eve in the garden. He's been using Eve ever since. And while there's the good side, there's the bad side. And the warning is lust not after her beauty in your heart. Don't be taken by the eyelids. And then it says, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. In other words, he's broke. He had nothing left. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Now that's the bad side of what God intended to be good. God made man and woman attracted to each other. And if a man's right, the woman's right, that's the right kind of attraction. Not this homosexual mess that's going on today. But at the same time, the devil makes bad out of good. God can make good out of bad, but the devil takes something that's good. And the attraction of a man and a woman to fall in love and raise a family, all that's God's plan. But the devil takes something God meant for good, makes bad out of it. I heard an old preacher say one time, he said, the devil's such a counterfeiter. He said, God made a beautiful cabbage plant, good for food. Devil come along and made a tobacco plant. Now, that was this old former preacher's reasoning. I understand what he meant by that. He's good about pulling tricks. And he's good about taking what is good and making bad out of it. And he's talking about the relationship here of a man and a woman and how the attraction, so strong that it is, can be turned wrong and be wrong. And the Bible warns about that. The devil can take something good like marriage and make it happen at the wrong time in the wrong way and make something bad out of it. God's plan is marriage. I've told the story before, mainly emphasizing the power of the Word of God. But there's a verse, and again, I know I got a lot of young men out there, and I'm telling you, the devil will knock on your door with all the temptations that's being talked about right here. You've got to be strong and wise. And in the strength of the flesh and in youth, the Bible tells us to flee youthful lust. You've got to run from it sometime. And yet that's the commercial thing in the world today, isn't it? I don't know what I'm fixing to say enough about it to say any more. But I heard a little news clip, I believe it was last night. I can't stand to watch the Democratic convention that's going on. I just can't handle that. And but there was rerunning some little part of it on the late news. And the commentator was saying, and he flashed on a picture, and the picture was a half-nude woman. And he says, this is the popular, and he gave a name, and I don't know what it was, and a group of them. And they have written a song, and the Democratic Convention, Mr. Biden was praising that particular woman, and he said, this is the most popular song right now among young people. I don't know what the song was, don't know the name of it. But then he said this, parents, you ought to look up what the words in that song are. He said, I cannot tell you. That's pretty bad when they won't tell you. But he said, and I'll use the word porn, it's pornographic stuff. Now, if our culture is sunk to the place that that is the front line, most popular, and used in a political campaign, how low have we sunk? See, that's what the devil does with that sort of stuff. And I don't know any details. Some of you right now, on your little picture box, you already know what I'm talking about. You know more about it than I do. And the truth of the matter is, you better watch that, because the devil is in the picture business. And he can do more with a picture than he can with words, and that's what's going on now in our country. And it says, can a man take fire, verse 27, in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? God condemns the illicit use, adultery. It's the seventh commandment, by the way, out of the Big Ten. Remember? Thou shalt not commit adultery. God's judgment's on it. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, that takes in Hollywood, that takes in the modern culture. Whoremongers and adulterers, God shall judge. One Sunday night, I got in the car, years ago. My boy, who's in his almost middle 40s now and preaching, but he was young then. He was, I don't know, 7, 8, no older than that, I don't think. Had one of them old big black Fords, used to make big ones. And drove it for years, had it parked out there, and was fixing to have youth camp. It was probably about, early camps. We didn't have any telephone out there. We didn't have any electricity. We had generators out there. But I had a fellow in church. He's been long gone now, but it's back before cell phones. Can you kids imagine living before cell phones? Yeah, before cell phones. And he was into CB radios. Boy, they went like the dinosaur, didn't they, after cell phones come in. But they used to be CB radios. And he told me, he said, now, preacher, you'll be at camp all week. And he said, I'm going to put a CB radio in your car and one in the office where the secretary can get a hold of you. I want to say, you jerk, I don't want the secretary getting a hold of me. I'm hiding at youth camp. But preachers can't tell church members everything we think sometimes. But I did tell him this, don't you drill no holes in my car. Don't you mess up my car. I was putting a CB. Oh, no, I won't do that. So that Sunday night after baptism, we came out, and my son was with me. My wife drove on home, and he was riding home with me. So he got in the car and climbed up on that middle arm piece. That big old Ford had a big old piece there, and he could sit on it and see over the dash, you know. Illegal now, I'm sure. But he climbed up there, and right in front of him was this CB radio, brand new. I hadn't seen it either, sitting right in that dash. Daddy, what is that? What is that? And I said, oh, that's a CB radio. Well, turn it on. I said, no, that's for camp. Well, a man had told me, all you got to do is turn it on. It'll be set. All you got to do is turn it on. I didn't know nothing about it. Still don't. And the kid kept, turn it on, Daddy. So I finally, like a good daddy, I obeyed, and I reached over and turned it on. Soon as I turned it on, I mean just that quick, voices was coming over that radio. And What it was a big truck stop out here. Many of you remember it's out there. What is that out there? Wendy's or something now? Yeah, that's where it is. That's where it was, a big truck stop. And truckers come from north and south, and they stop there. Anyway, the voices was truckers, one coming up from the south, one coming down from the north. And there were some females, not ladies, but females, in a Lincoln automobile at the truck stop. And what I was hearing was a business deal being made by the two truckers to meet the ladies at the truck stop. They were haggling price, and they were just going, oh, man. I mean, I could feel righteous indignation crawling up my backbone. In front of God and everybody, they're talking this. I didn't think the thing through. I just are hearing it. And he's sitting there, our eyes bugged out, you know, he's hearing that thing talk. I reached over and got the mic. Now, the fella had told me, if you want to talk, you mash the button. You mash the button. That's all he told me. He didn't tell me you're supposed to say breaker or anything like that. Just mash the button if you want to be heard. So I picked it up and got it as close to my mouth as I could. Without even thinking, I quoted Hebrews 13:4, the biggest, meanest voice I could make. I said, marriage is honorable and all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God shall judge. I said it that way. I won't tell you what happened. My hand's on the Bible. I'm not stretching this a bit. It went deathly quiet. Deathly quiet. Every now and then, I'd realize somebody pushed the button because I could hear a diesel motor running. That's all. And then I didn't hear nothing. We drove 7 miles from this parking space to my house. Went in the driveway. Not a sound. Not a voice. And then just as I was parking the car, I heard a man say, who in the world do you think that was? The other man answered him back, said, I don't know, but I'm at the truck stop and the women are gone. Now, I'll tell you what done that. The Word of God done that. The Holy Spirit went right out over that CB radio and got in somebody's heart. And all I said was what God said. Whoremongers and adulterers, I will judge. That hadn't changed. It's still the big seventh commandment. It's still something God judges. It's still something a lot of folks are reaping for. And so when we come to the book of Proverbs here and get this warning from God, and young men, you better heed this sort of stuff. It goes on down. It's rest of it here pretty powerful to understand. It's a fire. It's the rage of the flesh. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Basically, no. So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Isn't that what all the soap operas are made about on TV? All the set-in things we laugh at, comedies, people watch TV. It's all based on adultery. It's all based on this somebody with somebody else's wife. That's what it is. And that's what it's warned against here. He that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief. See the example, the comparison now? Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But, here's the cross the street now, the little word but, crossing the street. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Here's the word but again. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. Let me drop a little first Mickey second verse in this. Lacketh understanding. I told a young man not long ago, I said, every time you commit adultery with a woman, and as the scripture calls it here, a whorish woman, You are having sex with everybody that ever had sex with that woman. Talk about spreading AIDS, viruses, diseases. Do you ever think about that? Oh, my time's up. But I attended a meeting with another preacher here in Polk County many years ago. Many of you remember Dr. J.B. Buffington. We went down to a school board meeting here in the county, and the AIDS was a scare at that time, sort of like COVID now. And we went to a school meeting and was hearing all this stuff, and I heard some doctors and others testify, and they were worried about the AIDS virus spreading and so forth, and bad thing. By the way, it was called GRIDS when it started, G-R-I-D-S, and G stood for gay. That's where it came from, the gay so-called, the homosexual crowd. Then it got politically incorrect to tell it like it was, and they had to shorten it to AIDS. In that meeting, though, we were in, I saw the illustration put on a film. They were talking about, I'm being pretty plain with you tonight, but I'm in the context here. They were talking about protected sex. And this doctor got up and said, "You're deceiving yourself." And he put up a picture of the so-called protection, the plastic or the material it's made of. And he showed that if you magnified it enough, it had holes in it. Everything has holes in it. Everything is porous. And he showed how that the hole is so big compared to the little virus that attaches itself to the T cells in the blood. He showed that it would be like throwing a golf ball through a basketball net. Do you understand what I just said? Some doctor recently on this COVID thing made this statement. He said, "To think that mask is protecting you is like standing behind a chain link fence and asking a mosquito not to fly through it." See, there's a whole pile of misinformation not correct at all out there. There was no protection against AIDS. There's no protection against a lot of things. Truth is the biggest protection you got, and you're going to get that basically from the Word of God. But right here, back in our context a little bit, he's warning about going to the neighbor's wife. How that a man will not despise a thief so much for stealing if he's hungry, but, verse 31, if he be found, he shall restore. Verse 32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. That's pretty deep, pretty rich. He goes on to say why, verse 33. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. And then you ought to mark these verses, last two verses here especially, for jealousy, verse 34, is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Now, if you take verse 34 and 35, and next time you read stuff in the newspaper, the bad stuff that's going on, just remember those two verses. It is saying that when a man goes with another man's wife, she cheats, he cheats, and the husband finds out about it, his jealousy is a rage that'll get you killed. And you won't buy him off. You won't appease him. Now, if you'll check out so much of the bad stuff you go know about in the news today, you'd be surprised how many killings take place over this very thing. And I have dealt with men that have been sinned against and wanted to kill. I've had to tell many, you just need to remember it took two. As a rule, it does. I remember a man, he's still alive, good friend I went to school with, got saved here in my church, I baptized him. Big man. His wife joined the church, and I suspected at the time, I don't know where how real her Christianity is. But I knew he got saved. I'd known him for years. He hadn't been saved long. He knocked on my door one day in my office and came in and sat down. He said, "Preacher, I almost just killed a man." Now, he's a baby Christian. He'd been saved, baptized, but not long. I said, "What?" He said, "I found out my wife was cheating with this man." He said, "I got my 45. He said, "I went and knocked on his door. When he opened the door, I had the gun on him. He said, I fully intended to shoot him. Had no hesitation I was going to shoot him." He said, "Preacher, I don't know if I heard a voice or what, but it said this, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" He didn't know that was in the Bible, but God quoted it to him right at that instant. He said, "I told him, you're the luckiest man around because I come to kill you and I can't do it." And he came on to tell me the story. Now, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of them that go ahead and pull the trigger. That jealousy is something, and I've seen some awful things that fulfill this verse right here. I've been here 50 years come January. I pastored the country 3 years before that. 53 years of pastoring and working before that with young people some. I've seen this verse fulfilled a few times. And you read about it in the news, you hear about it in the news. Some fellow right here in the area, not so awful long ago, he was in a Latin American country. He got on an airplane. He flew here. He got off the plane and he went and killed a man. He went back and got on the plane, and he went back home. When the authorities figured it out and caught up with it, he had heard his wife was still here, and he'd heard, and he was so jealous, and he'd heard that she was committing adultery. He came over here, shot the man, got back on the plane, and flew back to Latin America. I don't remember now how the story came out, but some of that was written in the newspaper. I'm talking to you about something the devil uses. A rage that can't be appeased, that can't be bought off. That's what the verse is talking about. What you see on TV is not reality. Everybody swapping husbands and wives is not God's plan. And in the soul, it leaves scars that you cannot imagine. And it brings results in some really, really bad, bad stuff. So the Bible's honest. It tells the whole truth. And here's the whole truth. May not like it. You better not prove it, because it'll prove out just like God said. Just like God said. So we're thankful for the Lord to give us the book of Proverbs and chapters like this that give us warning. Makes us wiser. If somebody's been listening to me tonight, and I don't know where this thing's online, I guess it is, streaming tonight or something. I want to say to you, if you're getting close to falling into some of these traps, you better run while you can and get away from it, because the consequences are very serious and you won't be able to get out of them. So we thank the Lord for giving us his warning. See, that's one of the reproofs that we're talking about here in verse 23. We learned by it. Probably if we had time, I could get testimonies all around this building with people that could tell me stories just like I told you. And it would prove out the same way. Be wise, and especially I speak to young people, be wise about this. God's plan is a good plan. It's for you to meet the one he has for you and to get married like he plans and raise a family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's God's plan. Don't let the devil give you a substitute. Amen. All right, let's stand. Brother Gall, are we having choir practice? Choir practice tonight, because Sunday's coming. Amen? Father, thank you for the word. Help us, Father, to be wise and to let your Spirit lead us and to realize that you love us is why you warn us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.